This is hard to watch.
It's business time, baby.
The Solar Monster sounds off.
My client!
Mama Monster!
Conquered the street!
This doesn't make any sense.
Your title belt is made of leather. You're not a real vegan.
You're fat, delete!
You haven't been beat up properly! Woo!
Five words that perfectly describe Monday Night Raw. Thanks to Booker T right there. This is hard to watch. In case you're wondering what this is an emergency sound off here. This is episode 498 for Tuesday, May 30th, 2017. I am the Solar Monster. Do not adjust your dial. It is a rare weekday sound off. I am still under the weather. I am not feeling well. Perhaps that has to do with why I am more ornery than usual. And as you could probably tell, I was not very happy with that TV show last night. Now, I had a lot to say about it, and we have a pay-per-view this weekend, and so I figured, why wait? Why not just talk about it right now? And give my predictions for Extreme Rules this Sunday. So that's what I'm going to do here. And it kind of bumps things up a week, because I had some special plans here for episode 500. Which is coming up in the next couple of weeks, by the way. And I will have an announcement soon to make about that as we are on the road to 500. But this just could not wait until this weekend. I just had to talk about this show. Before I do, I have to give a shout out here to the Florida Freebird, Bryant Becerra, Velvet Revolver, Robert Murray, the Show Off, Corey Van Dam, and the Skokie Assassin, Jonathan Black. You guys rock. You guys have already made PayPal donations for this week. I didn't want to wait till this weekend and lump you in with everybody else, so I wanted to give you guys a shout out here. Thank you for the support. I very much appreciate it. Monday Night Raw last night, I have a poll up on Twitter as I do every single week. The poll is going to be open for another 24 hours or so it's not even done yet. I've got over 1,100 votes already in. 23% thumbs up, 77% thumbs down. That sounds about right to me. There is a pay-per-view this weekend. It is called Extreme Rules. It is a Raw brand pay-per-view. I am going to throw my predictions out there for you. I'm not going to wait till this weekend. I'll give those to you in a little bit, but I want to just run through some quick Raw thoughts here. Now, I want to be fair, because this wasn't all bad. Okay, this show had two good main events. The Roman Reigns-Seth Rollins match in particular I thought was really good. There was also a triple threat match with Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Bray Wyatt. That was good, but I thought the main event was really good. Now, the triple threat match didn't do a damn thing to get me interested in this Fatal 5-Way on Sunday, but as a match, it was good. Other than those two matches, I will say this, they started a new storyline with Corey Graves and Kurt Angle that seems kind of intriguing, which is what I think this show needs more of. So I can't really hate, how can I hate on something like that if it's unpredictable, I don't know where it's going to go, and it's kind of something out of the ordinary, right? I have no idea where they're going with it, that's a good thing. The rest of this show bored me to fucking tears. Including the worst segment all year. Not even the great Alexa Bliss could save that steaming pile of garbage. And Alexa, you know, say what you want, there's people who love Alexa Bliss, there's some people who hate Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is the best talker of all the women they have. She's a better talker than she is a wrestler, which is not to say she's a terrible wrestler, but talking is where I think she really shines. Even she could not save this thing, and she knew it. She knew it was dying a death, and there was nothing that she could do. And it went on forever. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that scene from Austin Powers, where he runs over the security guy with the steamroller. The guy had forever to get out of the way. He's like, I don't know how many miles ahead of the steamroller he is, but he's standing there and he's throwing his arms up and he's screaming, no, and you knew what was coming. You knew what was coming. But he just stood there. And then finally, after all that time went by, he gets run over. They should feel embarrassed that even made the air last night. They should cut that segment out from the network version when it goes up and replace it with a test pattern. Now, the Corey Graves thing, let me talk about this first. Let me get the good out of the way first. Corey Graves got a text message on this show. Wasn't Kevin Nash, as far as we know. Who knows? Maybe it was. He got a text message while the announcers were doing their on-camera spiel early in the show. He looked very concerned. He took his headset off and he walked out. Someone obviously texted him the Raw ratings for the previous week. So he goes backstage to show Kurt Angle the message that he was sent, and Angle said, well, you know, if this is true, this could ruin me. So it was definitely the Raw rating from the previous week. But no, it was actually that Kurt Angle was a disgrace and you're an embarrassment to WWE and you have besmirched your reputation as an Olympic gold medalist. And, you know, my first thought, you know, besmirched, you think about William Regal, and it would be kind of interesting if Regal were making a play for the GM position on Raw, although I don't know why he would. I mean, who the hell in their right mind would trade the GM spot on NXT for the GM spot working for Stephanie McMahon on Raw? Nobody with a sound body in mind would. So I don't know where this is leading, but it's already the most interesting thing on the show. Now, why Corey Graves would have been the one to get that text message, that's not entirely clear. But it's only night one. Big Cass, later in the show, he confronted Graves at the announce desk for insinuating that he might have had something to do with Enzo Amore being attacked again, which he was on this show. So all of a sudden, Corey Graves has become the Woody Woodpecker of Raw. He's become quite the instigator on this show. Enzo was attacked again, by the way, because that's really all he's there for. I tweeted that maybe he's got narcolepsy and he just randomly collapses backstage. You know, either that or he was watching this show on a monitor backstage and fell asleep because it's so goddamn boring. So then later they interview the Revival. Remember I mentioned the Revival last week? Some people noticed in a backstage segment with Sasha Banks the week before you could see the Revival walking around backstage. Well, they brought that to everyone's attention. They replayed the footage. So they want you to know that, they want you to think that it was indeed the Revival who laid out Enzo Amore, making it almost too obvious, to the point where now it seems pretty obvious that in the end it will be revealed that Big Cass is the one who took out his little buddy. And all I can say is that if he does go heel, I'm not against the idea, but if he does go heel, what he should do is get the hell off Raw, show up on SmackDown, and beat the piss out of James Ellsworth. So they can write him off and put Cass with Carmella. I think Cass and Carmella together can make a good heel couple. The Ellsworth joke ran out 6 months ago. That thing ran its course 6 months ago. Bray Wyatt. I mentioned Bray Wyatt was in a triple threat match against Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. Samoa Joe is cutting a promo before the match. All of a sudden, Bray Wyatt pops up on the screen. For what else? One of his spooky promos. We got a spooky Bray Wyatt promo on this show. The Eater of Pins was then pinned by Samoa Joe after this long match that they had here. And the idea that Bray Wyatt could even be taken seriously at this point as a contender to Brock Lesnar is so unbelievably laughable to me. I'm not even sure why he's in the match this Sunday, other than they need a warm body. Probably to eat the pin. What else? Titus O'Neil. They're doing this Titus brand storyline where Titus has been recruiting Apollo Crews, right? So Titus has a match against Kalisto. Match goes not even a minute. Titus wins with a fistful of trunks. Who could possibly give a shit about any of this? Now, I will say, the little inset promo that they had, he and Apollo Crews before the match, was kind of entertaining. But matches like this are as much, I think, a part of why people don't care about this show as anything. Just like those three flash pins we had on SmackDown 2 weeks ago, last week. SmackDown's not immune to it either. It's a sickness in the booking of this company. It's infected every show. These quick roll-up finishes. People, to the point where people are tweeting me, asking me if I could bring back the roll-up counter. It was a distraction roll-up counter, to be specific. But I have multiple people now tweeting me, oh, you might have to bring the counter back. It's getting bad again. It's their old crutch finish that they love to fall back on. So then we got the now infamous This Is Your Life Bayley segment. Now, every now and then, WWE strikes gold. Okay? They managed to hit one out of the park. The first This Is Your Life segment they ever did with The Rock and Mankind, right? That went something like 25 minutes, went way longer than it was supposed to, but it was funny. It was entertaining. And it also wasn't PG, which I'm sure helped because, you know, Rock's punchlines in that segment were just fantastic. But I'll give you an even more recent example. We don't have to go back to the Attitude Era. It's not like everything in the Attitude Era was a bed of roses. We can go back just recently. Just to prove to you, I don't blindly hate everything on this show. The Festival of Friendship with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. That was an entertaining segment. And it even had a better payoff. It had a money payoff. It made Kevin Owens out to be this sadistic heel, and it made you feel genuine sympathy for Chris Jericho. It accomplished its goal. That is the sign of an effective segment right there. This right here, this is an example of a segment that chases people away from your television show. It's an example of everything that is wrong with WWE right now. It is a copy of something, which doesn't help, that they did 18 years ago, and not even a good one. If you're going to copy something that people liked, that people still talk about to this day, you better make sure it's at least as good or better than the original. So, of course, it never stood a chance of doing that. So right off the bat, you're producing something you know is an inferior segment. It's not funny. It's not entertaining. It does nothing to sell people on their pay-per-view match. And it drags on forever. That right there is Raw in a nutshell. Not entertaining, doesn't get you interested in the pay-per-view, and drags on forever. And thus, the lows keep getting lower. And Alexa tried. She really did. She had a table out there with a bunch of items on it from Bayley's past. She had a slinky. Slinkies are awesome, by the way. I killed many hours playing with that thing when I was a kid. That and the Rubik's Cube. She had Bayley's yearbook there. She was reading from the yearbook. Then she had people from Bayley's past. She had Bayley's fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Flapper. Okay, fucking Flappy Bird started talking about Bayley always sitting in the front row of class and her father was sitting there with her. So then Alexa goes and she interviews Bayley's former best friend, Tracy. I'm pretty sure Raw gave me rabies by this point. Fans started chanting, delete, delete, delete. That was followed later on by chants of, this is boring. Then she interviewed Bayley's ex-boyfriend, Phil, who's about 10 feet tall. Phil ends up making out with Tracy. So after all of this, Bayley's music finally hits. And out she comes. She finally decides to come out. Why did she wait this long? I don't know. Boy, she was very patient. She allowed this whole thing to play out. It just defies all logic. When this was over, I hated Bayley. I was very sad that Alexa did not cane her 10 more times with the kendo stick for making all of us suffer through this. And to top it all off, this was the topper of it all. This was the cherry on top of the shit Sunday that this was. They had the gall, when this was over, to throw it to the announcers to promote their free trial for the network. If the network was a child, that segment was a great PSA for birth control. So, Rollins and Reigns. That's enough about that segment. I have nothing else to say about that segment. And, you know, there'll be people who say, well, you're being unfair. Not every segment is a winner. It was one bad segment on a show. Okay, a show full of what? A show full of what? I'm tired of people who give them a pass, and I think that's part of the problem. And I try to be very even-handed. I'm trying to be even-handed now. I'm gonna talk about Rollins and Reigns real quick right here, which I enjoyed. Okay? I enjoyed that match. But I think part of the problem is people try a little too hard sometimes to be fair. Sometimes the fair thing is to just be brutally honest and call a spade a spade. Because if we always try to play right down the middle, this, well, you know, for all the negative, there's always a positive. Sometimes, there isn't. And you may have a 3-hour show that has two or three good things, it doesn't excuse the bad stuff. And if you don't call them out on the bad stuff, how are they ever going to know that it's bad? If you have a kid and you're trying to spoon-feed him medicine, and that medicine tastes like shit. It doesn't taste like bubble gum. It doesn't taste like fruit punch. It tastes like crap. That kid is going to fight you, and when you force it into his mouth, he's going to make a face because he doesn't like it. And he wants you to know he doesn't like it. He's not going to smile and swallow it. So that's my only point is as far as that goes. Okay, because there's always going to be defenders and there's always going to be people who say, oh, you're being too hard, you're being too hard. Let me just mention, in the interest of fairness here, this quote-unquote emergency sound-off that I'm doing here, which is really just a sound-off I didn't want to wait until this weekend to do, call it whatever you want. I haven't done one of these since episode 184. This is episode 498. Okay? I just want people to be aware of that, who think that this is a regular thing. It's been a long time since I've done one of these shows. So you can bet your ass that if I'm doing one, there's a good reason for it. Now, Rollins and Reigns couldn't save the show, but they had a very good match. Rollins gave him a buckle bomb in the corner. Reigns bounced right out and hit a Superman punch. I know a lot of people were really pissed off about that. I thought it was a cool spot. I looked at it as the momentum sort of propelled him forward into the Superman punch. He didn't have a whole lot behind the punch, but he threw it, and then he collapsed. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Rollins hit a great frog splash for a near fall. He went for a Phoenix splash. Reigns moved out of the way. He tried for a spear. Rollins escaped. He went for his new finish, whatever he calls it. I don't know if it has a name or not. Reigns countered that, hit the ropes, hit the spear, and got the 1-2-3. A decisive finish. I thought for sure Bray Wyatt was going to run in. Samoa Joe was going to run in. It was going to be a DQ. They gave us a clean finish. That was sort of a relief. And it was a relief also because Roman Reigns got the win. Well, why is that a relief? Because it only confirms my belief that he's not winning on Sunday. And that's a good thing. Or is it? I don't know anymore. You know, the more I think about this holding pattern that we seem to find ourselves in, because it's pretty obvious where all of this is headed. All roads lead to WrestleMania next year. All roads lead to Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And the more I think about that, as we're in this holding pattern, while this show suffers with this terrible television show that it's become on most weeks, I kind of just want him to win already. Just give him the championship already so we can move on to something else. Now, this Sunday is a pay-per-view. It's called Extreme Rules. They're going to be live from Baltimore, Maryland. Here's the card as of right now, and it's entirely possible they're going to add another one or two matches between now and then. It'll be an undercard match or a kickoff match or something. If so, I'll go through all the predictions again this weekend, but I want to get my predictions out now for the card. Sasha Banks and Rich Swann, they're going to be a team against Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. And I'm going with Sasha Banks and Rich Swann for no particular reason. I just think the babyfaces are going to go over here, and I think it would be kind of sad to see Sasha Banks, how far she's fallen, if she's in a pay-per-view match and loses to Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. But I was looking at the description on WWE.com that they put up of this match. I just want to read this to you. This is what it says. It says, this Sunday at Extreme Rules, Sasha Banks will join forces with Rich Swann to take on the reunited Lovebirds, Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, in a mixed tag team match that promises 205 times the action. Although Swann had managed to defend the honor of his friend, Cedric Alexander, by breaking up Dar and Alexander's ex-girlfriend Fox, the mischievous couple managed to work things out and are now more dangerous than ever. I don't know why, I just thought that was kind of cringy, but anyway, that's the description for that match. As a match, I'm sure it'll be good. Because Rich Swann is quite good. Noam Dar is okay. We have Neville defending the Cruiserweight title against Austin Aries in a submission match. This should be very good. I am hoping that Neville wins. And in fact, I am predicting that Neville will win. He will retain the championship, and I'm hoping he does. If for no other reason, to get Austin Aries the hell away from the Cruiserweight division. Because he deserves better than this. And it really hit me watching him come out last night. You know, Neville's been killing it, and I think for Neville, it's a great spot for him to be in. They just need to bring in more faces. We're at the point now where it feels like it's the same faces over and over again. And if you're going to keep these guys limited to their own little bubble, their own little division, they got to get some new blood in there against Neville. Aries is better than this. Aries came out last night, didn't really get much of a reaction initially when he came out, and I'm just thinking, man, he should be in there with guys like Joe and Rollins. He's better than this. So if it were up to me, Neville goes over, and Aries is transitioned to the, I guess, the rest of the roster, whatever you would call it, the quote-unquote important people, call them whatever you want, but that's where Aries deserves to be. Dean Ambrose and The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, where the championship can change hands on a disqualification, because nothing screams extreme rules more than a title change on a DQ, which is what I expect here. I'm going with The Miz. I believe he will win the championship on a DQ. The most likely candidate to interfere, if anybody does interfere, and I think they will, is the Drifter. And we just saw this a couple of weeks ago where Miz ran in and he actually attacked the Drifter. He did so to give Drifter a win and show Dean Ambrose that, hey, you could lose your title on a DQ. And so I would expect the Drifter to interfere and to likely attack Miz to hand him the championship. And then probably start something with the Drifter and Dean Ambrose. But either way, however they do it, I expect Miz to get the belt. I think he should get the belt because I just think that there's more that you could do with that than keeping the championship on Ambrose. We have the Hardy Boys against Cesaro and Sheamus in a steel cage match for the Raw Tag Team titles. Hardys keep winning. The Hardys keep winning. They got the pinfall in the six-man that opened Raw last night as well. I think that they will continue on their winning ways. I see no reason to get the belts off them right now. So I'm picking Matt and Jeff. We have Alexa Bliss defending her Raw Women's title against Bayley in a kendo stick on a pole match. What a stupid stipulation. I feel like they've lost focus on what this is supposed to be about. That's part of the reason why I also hated that segment from last night. It feels like the championship is almost, it's a backdrop. It's an afterthought. I mean, you're doing a This Is Your Life segment where Alexa's trying to embarrass Bayley. How is that supposed to get me excited for what's supposed to be a hardcore match at the pay-per-view? It's been all about the kendo stick. It should be about the championship. That's what they have to get back to here. I do think Bayley is getting the belt back here. She's been whipped now a couple of times on TV by Alexa. I think it probably makes sense to put the championship on her. Then Alexa would get her rematch, so there's probably at least one more match yet to come after this. But I think Bayley is going to win. And then we have the Fatal 5-Way, the second Fatal 5-Way of the week. We have one on SmackDown tonight that hasn't happened yet. But it's Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and the Eater of Pins, Bray Wyatt. The winner will challenge Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship, I believe, at Great Balls of Fire. And so I'm going with Finn Balor. I don't believe Roman Reigns is going to get the win, as some people fear. Bray Wyatt getting the win. I don't even want Bray Wyatt to get the win because it would be a complete and utter joke. I don't take him seriously at this point. I have zero interest in a Bray Wyatt-Brock Lesnar match. Absolutely no interest whatsoever in seeing that. So that leaves Reigns and Lesnar, who I still think they're going to hold off on that until next year. So that leaves Balor, Joe, and Rollins. Now, you could do Rollins. Joe and Lesnar would definitely be a fresh match they've not done before. It's a match I'd like to see happen at some point. I don't think that it makes too much sense to do that now with Joe being a heel. So I think Balor would be the most likely option. I think he would be the one that I would like to see of the five. I know some people can't take that seriously. Balor's too small. Someone emailed me and they were asking me, why don't they announce Balor's weight? They notice that when Balor comes out, they don't announce his weight because he's a small guy. Now, thankfully, they don't have him lumped into the cruiserweight division. I'm happy that he's hanging with the heavyweights, but that would be why. But to me, it makes the match that much more intriguing. I like those matches. I like the matches where you have a guy that's a little bit bigger and a guy that's a little bit smaller. It was the reason why I harped for so long on wanting to see a Daniel Bryan-Brock Lesnar match. And I'm sad that we never got to see it. I don't know that this one would be as good, but you still have the whole David versus Goliath story. I'm sure they'll promote it as the beast against the demon. That's how they'll market the match. I don't think we've seen the demon character since he came back from the injury. But I think Finn Balor is going to get the win. I think he'll get the title match against Brock Lesnar next month. Perhaps Bray Wyatt will cost him the championship. I certainly don't expect Balor to win the belt back just yet, but he's my pick. And so that's your card for Extreme Rules coming up this Sunday, which I sure hope is a hell of a lot better than that Raw show was last night. Obviously, one is a pay-per-view. It's going to be more wrestling-heavy. It's a different kind of show, so I would be, frankly, stunned looking at some of these matches on paper. There are some good matches on tap. I would be stunned if it wasn't at least a good show, if not a very good show. But this Raw last night, and obviously the Alexa segment in particular, but it goes far beyond the Alexa segment. Let's not just distill this down to one segment, okay? They have a very big problem on this show, and I just went on a whole rant about this last week. I'm not going to recap the whole thing. You heard me talk about it. The clip's up on TV Tracks. You could chime in there. This show has big problems, whether it's just predictability, the formulaic nature of it, it's too long. You can run the whole laundry list of reasons why the show has issues, why the ratings keep going down, why these polls get lower and lower, 20% thumbs up, 80% thumbs down. There's a lot of different reasons for it. But I think if we don't recognize the reasons for it and we just sort of accept it or irrationalize it or we try to pretend that things are better than they are, then we're just going to get spoon-fed more of the same. I don't know about you, okay, but I know, I look at this roster and I see a lot of potential. I see a lot of talented guys and a lot of talented women on this roster, and I want change. I want them to shake things up. We got a so-called shake-up a couple of months ago that really wasn't all that good of a shake-up because it didn't seem like it really shook things up very much to me. I want a real shake-up. That's what this show is in need of right now. This show is in need of a shake-up, a legitimate, true-to-life shake-up. Because what they're giving people every week, people aren't buying it. And it's getting harder and harder to sit through these shows. And it shouldn't be that way. SmackDown's a few hours away. You know what? I'm looking forward to SmackDown tonight. I'm looking forward to, you know, NXT tomorrow and seeing where things progress as they head into the next TakeOver show. I'm damn sure looking forward to Lucha Underground tomorrow night on El Rey. There's a lot to like right now about wrestling. Raw ain't one of them. And they gotta fix that. So I don't have to do another show like this, although I'm sure you all love me doing these shows during the week, but I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't feel compelled to. So we will be back with a normal podcast, normal time this Sunday. I guess that'll be episode 499. This brings us that much closer to episode 500, which will be coming up that weekend of, June 10th and June 11th. I'll have some news on episode 500 very soon. You can follow me on Twitter for that, at Solomonster. Follow me on there. If you want to make a PayPal donation, you can certainly do so on thesolomonster.com. We'll do more shout-outs this weekend. Use our Audible link and support us that way, audibletrial.com/Solomonster. But that's it. That's all I got. I am the Solomonster. We will see you back for a brand new show, normal time this weekend. Until then, I leave you with the immortal words of one Booker T.
This is hard to watch.